Like we turn in your Bibles tonight to the back of the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Going along this morning, I got through the first point, and I noticed it was already noon. And I don't know whether I got a late start or what happened, but it was a good place to stop as we want to consider, as we were speaking this morning, about the blessing that Jacob received, and we're looking at the we're looking at the source of that blessing, the cause of it, and the place of true blessing. I want to, after looking at the blessing that he had, and as he was saved from great danger and forgiven of his many crimes, he was made to experience the healing of a great breach between he and his brother Esau. And during this time, he was given a new name and was granted a fresh anointing. So we see what the blessing was composed of, and you may even think of some more yourself as you read this passage again. I would recommend that you do and think upon the message the Lord's given us. And we want to look now at the place of Jacob's blessing. And we'll get back to our Psalms pretty soon. But I'd like to finish this up while it's fresh in our minds. And here our text declares that not only that the Lord blessed him, but said that he blessed him there. He said to Jacob, Jacob said, "I am Jacob, I'm not worthy the least of all thy mercies, of all thy truth." And Jacob was blessed in a place of, was there in a place of blessing. And what it was, the physical location was by the brook Jabbok. And as I said, that location, the physical location wasn't important at that point. Wasn't that important. It might have been some significance to it if we were maybe to look at it a little deeper. But we see that he blessed him in a place of great trial. Verse 6 and 7, the messenger of chapter 32 said he returned to Jacob. Jacob had sent out messengers, and they said, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, and into two bands. So when Jacob was afraid, when he was distressed, when all earthly comfort had fled, we see that none of the good things of life that he had provided any good for his heart or soul. But the Bible said God blessed him there. And for God's saints, there was a writer been going for almost 220 years. William Cowper wrote a lot of the songs that we sing, and he was born in 1731, and 1800 he wrote this poem. It may be a song somewhere that uses these words, but he said, Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Says his purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The buds may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Amen. So we understand what William Cowper was talking about and how it relates to this account with Jacob. So for God's saints, as I said earlier this morning in introducing this point, every trial is a blessing in disguise, and every trial is a forerunner of blessing. Because you know the place where Jacob's blessing was a place of brokenness. It was a place of humility and contrition. before the Lord, the place of his repentance, and it was a place of his confession. As I said, he said, "I am Jacob. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant," there in verse 10. And he said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob," verse 27. So the blessings of God's grace, listen, they come to men and women who have been broken. Men and women who are under conviction of sin. And those whose hearts are made contrite. And those who confess their sins to him. So understand, the psalmist said in 34 and verse 18, "The Lord is nigh, near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such," listen as he said here, "as be of a contrite spirit." And then the 51st Psalm, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." He said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. And the prophet Isaiah said in the 66th chapter and verse 2, "For all those things hath mine hand made," God said, "and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." You understand, the place of blessing is a place of humility and a place of brokenness and repentance. If we confess our sins, John said, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he said, we confess our sins, he's faithful, and he will cleanse us. So you understand, brokenness is a heartfelt awareness of our helpless, ruined condition before God. Knowing that we're sinners, that we deserve nothing but a curse, but God is merciful and delights in mercy, and he blesses our brokenness. Contrition, that is a grief of our heart over sin. And personally, it is the grief of your heart over your sin. That's contrition. And humility is an honest awareness of my sinfulness in the sight of God's holiness, and really realizing as we see God through Jesus Christ and his perfection and his holiness, that we are nothing before his greatness. We are empty before his fullness. The preacher brought out last night about humility, and these three men were discussing who would be the greatest, the three disciples, and who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus set a little child in the midst of them and said, "You must become like unto this little child." And our preacher last night brought that out very well, the humility and being dependent upon someone else. Just think about a child for a moment and the condition, the position they're in. So the place of Jacob's blessing was a place of brokenness and a place of contrition. It was a place of humility. And you know how he received that? It was through a revelation of Christ. He had seen God face to face. And Zechariah said in chapter 12, verse 10, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And as I said, the contrition and humility of brokenness is the place of blessing. These things always accompany faith in Christ. Every time. The brokenness which does not trust Christ is only a vain show. And that contrition that does not trust Christ is hypocrisy. And that humility that does not trust Christ is nothing but pride in its most obnoxious form. So it must be a brokenness, it must be a contrition, a humility that trusts Jesus Christ. And it is faith in Him that brings that, knowing that we have, that what we are, we deserve nothing. So the place of Jacob's blessing was also a place of a fervent and earnest prayer. If you read verse 9 through 12 with me, it says, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee, or will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother of the, with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. What did Jacob do? He acted upon God's word. We must always depend upon God through His word. He acknowledged his unworthiness of God's grace. He sought God's deliverance, and he put in remembrance, he put God in remembrance of his promise to him. And we stand upon those promises. And the Bible says he blessed him there. And this place of blessing, furthermore, was a place of Jacob's communion with God. In the Genesis chapter 32, verse 29 and 30 says, Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So this place of blessing was a place of Jacob's communion with God. Nothing brings God's saints into the enjoyment of his blessing like communion with him. So often we neglect that very blessed privilege as children of God to go into our Heavenly Father in prayer and in study of His Word and allowing Him to speak to us. And we're praying to Him in a quiet place and having a close communion with Him. I cannot overstress the importance of communion with God. I don't know how it could be that we as mere worms of the dust are called upon to approach the throne of grace boldly and find help in time of need. The depths of life are not men talking about God. The depth of our existence, the depths of our knowledge and our wisdom, that's not about us talking about God, but it's men talking to and with God. You know, we can afford to lose anything and everything except communion with God. Our enjoyment of God's blessing does in great measure depend upon our personal communion and our fellowship with God, with our Savior. You can't understand. Ray and many of you have lost your loved ones. And it's sometimes I've lost all except my immediate family, and I thank God that we haven't lost any of our children or grandchildren, but my brother's gone, my sister's gone, my parents are gone. But you know, I can handle all that as long as I don't lose Christ. You know, I can handle that, and God blesses. When God makes you to know your weakness, He will bless you with His strength. You know, place of Jacob's blessing was a place of a conscious weakness. As he passed over Remuel, the sun rose, or Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He was weak. Strong men do not need Christ to be their strength. They miss the blessing of his strength. You know, weak men need him, and those who need him have him, and those who have him are blessed, and blessed of God forever. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, in the Corinthians, that second letter, of the four that Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't be looking for the other two. We don't have them published. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly," Paul said, "therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So you see, the place of Jacob's blessing was a place of conscious weakness. So Jacob was blessed of God. The place of his trial, the place of his humiliation, the place of his prayer, of his communion, and then the place of his weakness. And then lastly, we see other places. You say, are there any other such places of blessing? You know, indeed there are. Throughout the scripture, God's saints are spoken of as a people who are blessed of God. God's saints are blessed everywhere and in all things blessed. The Deuteronomy, the account there reads concerning these blessings in the 28th chapter. And we won't take time to read all that. But before even the earth was made, the Lord God blessed his elect in Christ with all spiritual blessings of salvation. Amen. The Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writing to that church said in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Amen. You understand, we're blessed in many places. In chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So Christ then, isn't he the place of blessing? Outside Christ, there's nothing but cursing. There's nothing but damnation. You know, it was promised to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed," in the book of Genesis chapter 22. And guess who that seed is? That seed is Christ. We're blessed of God in Christ. We're blessed of God in his life through righteousness. He lived a perfect life. In his death, he redeemed us. He bought us. He paid our sin debt. And in his person, he gives us salvation. So all things are in Christ. And all things are ours if we are in Christ. All grace, all love, all acceptance. Listen, all righteousness, all forgiveness, all peace, the promises of God, the providence of God, all the glory, all wisdom, redemption, all sanctification, the judgment, life, heaven, joy, truth, all the Godhead is ours in Christ. So you see, the place of blessing is Christ. And the place of conversion in the history of the believer is a place of blessing. If this day you're turned to God, and if this day God declares, "From this day on will I bless thee." The psalmist said in 32, verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." So the place of trial is for you who are God's, a place of blessing. The place of conversion, the place of trial. The book of James letter said in chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. What a merciful God. This place of blessing also is also a place of obedience. God said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Jacob found himself there at Jabbok, where he met God face to face because he obeyed God's voice. He went there. He didn't ask questions. Why do you want me to go back there? What's there for me? What am I going to get out of it? He didn't ask questions. God said, "Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." And God promised him that, and he believed it, and he obeyed. Obedience brought him to Jabbok, and God blessed him there. Listen, he honored God, and God honored him. And obedience often brings trials. Obedience often brings ridicule, or people make fun of you. But obedience always brings God blessing. God's commands are true and righteous altogether. And in the keeping of them, the Bible says, there's great reward. And I want you to understand too, that every ordinance of divine worship is to a true worshiper a place of blessing. The assembly of God's saints, we come together to worship Him. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What a blessing. The preaching of the gospel, the waters of baptism, the Lord's table. You know, the destiny of God's saints is that of those who are blessed. They're blessed of God. We receive grace here and glory hereafter. Now, I'm not talking to you about some religious theory that I read in some book. What I'm talking about is what I know in my own soul, and that by long years of personal experience. For over 30 years, as long ago, 1975. What's that, 40? I'm not doing the math right now. 40-some years? As a young couple, we were full of sin and guilt and fear. And Katie and I heard the voice of God. Amen. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we obeyed His command. He blessed us there. And soon after that, we heard His master say, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." And He blessed us there. We obeyed His voice. And I do remember the first time we took the bread and the wine at the Lord's Supper. He blessed us there. He said this, "Do in remembrance of me." So it's a place of blessing. We've worked together in the church. Preach the gospel. And we pastored this great church. And He blessed us here. So God gives us many blessings. He gave me a wife who was full of love. A daughter, two sons, and their grandchildren. From the day God called me, it's been uphill and down, but we've been blessed all the way. He blessed us here. Is this a place of blessing for you today? I pray it would be. Throughout the days of your life, it would be a place where you saw God face to face. And He spared your life. It will be a place of blessing if you come to Christ again or for the first time and say, my Lord, my Savior, my God. Because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And he blessed us here. Has God blessed you? Do you show him the worship that is due his name? I pray you do. Trust and obey our Lord and Savior. Brother Tim, would you come? Lead us in a hymn.
Hymn number 44.
44, okay.